This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, presented by BetMGM. Of course, he's Michael Lombardi, hunkering down in Ocean City, New Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. We head to the South Point there in Vegas and welcome in Hall of Fame handicapper, our partner, Vinny Maliulo. And as we say, happy holidays, Vin. As we welcome you in, we were talking about your mom, who's the bingo queen there in Vegas, yeah. Summerlin. We were talking how did your parents take to you being a bookie, essentially? Now, you started many moons ago, but when you said, Mom, Dad, I want to be a bookmaker, how'd they react?
I didn't tell them that. They just knew it. They could tell by especially some of my grades, because I was not particularly good. Believe it or not, I was never really good in math, calculus and trigonometry. So when I started, getting B's and A's in those courses, they figured something was amiss. So they found out that those particular Franciscan brothers, they were into the VIN for some action. Let's face it, guys. Michael, you know this all too well. In Catholic school, every fundraiser is gambling related. Oh, whether it's bingo, no doubt, raffles, Vegas night, a little side action in the book. There's a reason they call it the bookstore. Okay, they call it the bookstore because that's where you go get your textbooks. Well, there's a section of the bookstore that I resided in. It had nothing to do with textbooks. So I would, make it a point to find out where certain members of the staff had gone to school and where they went to college. And I always made sure that, and they were homers. I mean, we had one teacher who was from Boston, and he went to Boston College. All he cared about was the Celtics and the Bruins and the Red Sox. And I took full advantage of that because I made sure that I put up prices that he couldn't resist. So anyway, when I started getting these good grades, my parents absolutely knew that something was in. My father just kept shaking his head, and my mother kept making the sign of the cross. But, business is business, So it wasn't like I came home with a profound announcement. It was, all right, we know what's going on. Just
once mom starts gripping onto those beads,
And she brings them to bingo. And I keep telling her, Mom, you have to... So she goes, you know the mom that always says, my son, the doctor. Well, my mom is at bingo, and she's telling, my son, that works for the Gaunts, and he's in the sports book. I'm like, Mom, there's no, what does that have to do with G8? I don't need a call from the gaming control board. Just go about your business. And by the way, let somebody else, let Mrs. Lindsini win a couple of sessions.
Keep her action in the game. Just keep her
in
the game, right?
That's it.
Wet the whistle. Well, happy holidays, Vinny, and it's great
happy
to see
holidays,
you.
Guys. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I wish everybody the best out there, and appreciate the listeners and the viewers that tune in and listen to us every day.
So the theme this weekend, and it's apropos because it is the holidays, the bomb cyclone as the snowflakes come from Andrew. But all kidding aside, the weather is going to be frightful. I mean, it's going to be cold. It's going to be raining. It's going to be snowing. It's going to be windy. 50-mile-an-hour gusts there in Cleveland. How are you looking at this behind the book here, Vin?
Yeah, guys, and we saw, I think we got a preview last night, right, with the Jags and the Jets game, and who is going to be able to execute. You would think, and the bettors certainly felt that the Jets would really have a better feel for things, literally being home in that climate. The Jags coming up from Florida. I mean, that game opened pick'em and closed at 2.5. I mean, we were on the verge of going to 3 on that game. So that was the perception there. And I think it's when you see the weather, guys, and yes, the snow enters into it, but when you get the cold and you get the winds, that is even more of a factor. And you start seeing totals coming down. I mean, everything from, a high total or a higher total this week in the Giants-Vikings game, even though the game is going to be inside, I think people realize that, particularly at this point of the season, that points are going to be at a premium, right? You're seeing several games. Even the Saints-Browns game, and to your point, Patrick, asking about the game in Cleveland, which already had a low total of 33, it's down to 32. So I think totals are getting impacted. The other part is when you got point spreads, they tend to be a little bit closer too, right? If games would be, we've seen close games too, right? I mean, you look at this season, the way it's played out, and games, the results of games and the results of bets of point spreads are coming down really to the last couple of possessions. So, I think when you look at a game like the Bengals, right, which have now come down a full point to 3-4 in some spots, then you got, Bengals open 4 on the road against the Patriots. Now the game is down to 3. I also think that what's factored into that is the Bengals actually clinched a playoff spot last night.
Good
by
point.
Virtue of the Jags. A victory, but I think they still want to improve their seeding position. And then you have a desperate team in New England who absolutely, blew a game last week to the Raiders. So all those factors, guys, come into play, and much more closer numbers for the most part this week, but particularly in terms of totals where the games are outside.
You know, I don't think Cincinnati will back off until they clinch the North, right? I mean, so they're going to get the third seed. Whoever's the fourth team, Jacksonville, Tennessee, is going to be the four. You know, they're going to be the fourth seed in the set. So you're basically dealing with, and next week Cincinnati plays Buffalo. You're basically dealing with, you know, who's going to get the third seed here, or maybe can Cincinnati capture the two seed? So I think that's where they're going. You know, I think that's where Cincinnati's motivation lies. Yeah, they're in the playoffs, but they don't want to have to be the fifth seed. They'll be the fifth seed no matter what. They'll have the best record of all. Are they better off being the fifth seed, or are they better off being the third seed? I mean, I would rather go to Tennessee or Jacksonville and play those teams than host a playoff game, but I think Cincinnati's playing too well to back off right now.
Yeah, good point, Michael. I think, you kind of try to get into the heads of bettors sometime too and figure it out. I think that there'll be some more Cincinnati money. I mean, when I say, you know, when bettors took 4 and took 3.5 in this game to get us to 3 right now, that's simply a play on the number, right? I mean, that's if the weather's going to be bad and you can get better than a field goal, obviously that was attractive to a lot of folks there. But I think we will see some Cincinnati money, and I think overall we'll probably get to it'll wind up being a pretty much a two-way game in terms of the betting action when it comes to the Bengals and Patriots this week.
Okay, Vinny, do this for us. So Michael and I were discussing the Lions and Panthers, okay? I don't want to get into a philosophical discussion about betting splits, so I'm going to save you there, but I'll just put it to you this way. BetMGM is reporting that 85% of the tickets they're writing right now are on the Lions and 79% of the money they're taking on the Lions. Can you help a better understand what this means? They opened 3, they've moved to 2.5. Walk us through an inordinate amount of money and tickets on one side, yet we've dropped through that key number down to 2.5.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, let's look at ticket count, right? What does ticket count tell you? You know, ticket count gives you a gauge as to really who's betting, right? I mean, if it's an inordinate amount of tickets coming in on one side of a matchup, that the public is very much involved in that. You know, are professionals involved in that? Yeah, but professionals tend to bet bigger amounts. So you could have, 90% of the tickets written for, under $1,000, under $1,100 on one side. But a professional could get you right back in line or, close to being balanced on a game, particularly earlier in the week, with one bet. So there's two elements of splits, right? There's the ticket count, and then there's the bet, the money bet. That's why it's from our perspective, what do we look at? We look at who bet, when they bet, and how much they bet. And, when I say when they bet, was it early in the week? Was it later in the week? Because these games are up, obviously, from the previous week, in our case, on Monday morning. But the other part, guys, is that, in this particular case, it's a play on the number as well. It's a 3. Obviously, with the taking of the field goal in this game, with a dangerous team like the Panthers, who have really responded to their coach, the coaching change. And the other part of it is they traded their some of their best players, but they're still competing, and they're in the conversation for that division, which is so weak. You've got to also look at the fact on the other side. Hey, the Lions, look at what they've done and what Dan Campbell has done with that team. I mean, you've got to be thrilled, Patrick. I'm sure you're getting, you've got a great read on that. Growing up in the Detroit area and how excited people are, and rightfully so. So I mean, you've got the Lions now at 500, and looking in. When was the last time you heard the two words Lions and playoffs? in the same conversation? It hasn't been too recent. But that, getting back to the element of the betting on it, strictly a play on the number kind of tells us, I don't think this game will obviously go through 3.5 because they took the 3. They didn't wait for it to go to 3.5 to take 3.5.
Yeah, that's a great point there, Patrick. I mean, they take it, and they sense where it's going to end up, so they grab the number while the getting's good.
Bit of a hedge, but the books know what they're doing. The lesson is always the books know what they're doing. But just to be clear, they are betting the Lions at the South Point as well.
They're going to lay the 2.5, I think, Patrick. But they'll probably bet the Lions more on the money line rather than lay the 3.
Okay. Vinny is here, the Hall of Famer, with Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. When we come back, we've got backups all over the place, including in Dallas with Minshew. We'll get the number there at the South Point next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. If you're in Vegas, stop by any MGM property, bring your state issued ID, ready to bet within minutes. You got to be 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER. If you have an issue, again, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Michael Lombardi, Patrick Maher, Vinny Maliulo there at the South Point in Henderson, Nevada, Las Vegas. We were just discussing, Mike Palm was on the show yesterday, said the handle at Circa is way down as far as college bowl game betting. By the way, it's even gives more credence to download the bowl betting guide if you're going to make a bet on these bowl games, because we've got you covered as far as who's in, who's out, and the variables. But Michael, before we get to Vinny on this, you said something very astute during the break. It's like, you don't want to bet into stupid with these bowl games.
It's hard to handicap. Even with our guide, it's hard to really predict what is the motivation. How serious are they going to take it? The coaching changes. I mean, Steve Satterfield's at Louisville. Now he's coaching at Cincinnati. Louisville's playing Cincinnati. I mean, it's hard to get any read on it. Interim coaches or the players, how serious are they? They're worried about injury. Who's opting out? Who's in? It's just very, very difficult. You're better off saving your money for the NFL, where on this weekend, even though Denver is not a good team, or they're 4-10 and the Rams are 4-10, you at least know Denver's defense is really good. If they get any offense, they should cover the 3. You play Denver. Right? You can logically get to an answer.
Outstanding points by Michael and you, Patrick. It's important to, we're seeing the same thing here, and it's simply a matter of not knowing, right? So what can you do? Well, the bowl guide is a great reference point, but you need to continue to follow social media. You need to follow your sources that you utilize for information in terms of watching player, looking for player information and everything like that. But the other part is, there are certain differences that we talk about from time to time between a casual bettor and a recreational bettor and a professional bettor. And one of those lessons is this. Sometimes the most important bet is the one that you don't make. If you're not sure, you don't have to bet it. There's a difference between betting a game just because it's on TV and not betting it. Now, you may say, well, Vinny, aren't you, you should be talking about getting handle and doing and getting business. We're going to get the business. A lot of times it may be right up until game time, right? And when the game comes on and the coverage begins, you'll probably have a better idea from the coverage as to who is and who is not playing. But also the fact that you've got week 16 with so many relevant games, I mean, there's still 50% of playoff spots open and available for the taking in the NFL. Are there a couple of teams or several teams that are eliminated? Absolutely. But there's still more meaningful games here. You've also got the playoff games that are going to generate quite a bit of handle, and the other sports too. So I'm not saying don't bet the bowl games. I'm simply saying bet the bowl games with as much information as possible. And if you pass, there's always something else to pick up on.
We were just discussing, and Michael, I don't know if you remember the number from yesterday, but how many backups and how many different quarterbacks have played this year?
Well,
it's just
I mean, when Gardner Minshew was going to take over, that's going to be 57. And then, you know, because new starters that stepped into this. And then, you know, when we look at the board, you know, Willis is not a new starter, right? You know, Ritter's not a new starter. Purdy's not a new starter. So they all counted in that 57. You know, but Nick Foles counts as 58 now, right? So he's a new starter. He's never played before. McSorley's 59. He's never played before. So it's like we're at 59 different starting quarterbacks for the National Football League. It's kind of a commentary on the lack of pass protection, the ability to protect, the ability to get the ball out of the quarterback. Guys are getting hurt. Now, you could say, well, you know, they're running too much. Yeah, they are. But that those six-back offenses, that there's only six of them in the league. There's really five of them, six. But the other games, they're just not protected. I mean, Arizona's on their third-string quarterback. Now, one injury was freakish, but, I mean, you know, Murray missed two games before that injury. And Colt McCoy can't stay on the field, right? I mean, the Rams are down to Baker Mayfield. If they didn't claim Baker Mayfield, they'd be playing Bryce Perkins.
Yeah, that's true. And frankly, after what we saw from Baker in Green Bay, the other shoe dropped. I still can't understand what happened with that 98-yard drive, the way that he's played all year. Anywho, I digress. Dallas, can you walk us through Philly and Dallas? Can you walk us through prior to the announcement of Minshew and then what happened after the announcement as far as the number there at the South Point, Vinny?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, guys, when something like that happens, and we'll retrace it. We opened the Cowboys here on Monday morning at 1.5, and then all of a sudden you just – all when you think about it, you just started to hear – you know, Jalen Hurts, questionable, injured. Well, what happened? Then a few minutes later, it comes. It was coming in kind of trickles, right? What is it? Sprained shoulder. Okay, is it his throwing shoulder? Which one is it? And then we realize, okay, it's throwing shoulder, his right shoulder. All right, is he, you know, how severe? Well, questionable for this week. Then the next report comes out, may miss the next two games. Okay, well, what does that all mean? Well, first of all, and the immediate thing is the number. It's not wrong. It's not, you know, too cautionary to say, you know what, let's hold up on the game altogether. I mean, they're, you know, and again, everybody has their own style in terms of bookmaking, in terms of managing and mitigating risk and, you know, managing the number. Well, I have no problem saying until we get a handle on this, let's just hold up on the game. So we did. We held up on the game because you had everything out there from 3.5 and 4 all the way up to 6, 6.5. That's a big swing, especially in the NFL. So we held up on it for a bit until we really got confirmation that, in fact, he was, in fact, going to be out. Gardner Minshew, serviceable. We've seen him over the years, not with this particularly with this year's Philly team, but we're going to wind up getting to see him this week. Philly's in a prime spot. You also have to look at the other side. I mean, Dallas, right? They want some payback. They need a win. They've played up and down to their competition all year long. Who are the real Dallas Cowboys? But it comes back to this number. Right now, it's sitting at 4.5. We didn't get, through the six, but there was a showing of six. So what happens with that? There were people that laid 1.5, and they wound up taking six back. They also realized, too, the other offensive weapons for the Eagles are there, and their defense has been terrific. And, again, which Dallas Cowboys are we going to see? So a little bit of a holdup on the day of the news until we got a better idea what was going to happen with Hurts. But as an operator, sometimes you just have to say, particularly that early in the week, right? It's not like you're going to lose business overall on that. I personally want to know what's happening with a key player like that, and I want the bettors to know too.
Let me ask you this, Vinny. Where do you think this will end? Will it stay at 4?
Well, we're at 4.5 right now, Michael. Again, I think what's going to depend on that is what happens earlier in the day. Don't forget, this is an afternoon game, and there's going to be some carryover going to it, if anything. Again, given the factors here, I wouldn't be surprised if it trickled up a little bit. If there's a place that's at 6, you might see 6.5. 7, again, in an NFL game is an absolute take. I think you're going to have there are professionals out there especially that have a lot of respect for Philly this year. They've proven themselves. And if they can get 7, even with Gardner Minshew, I think they'll take it. So if it gets to 7, I think it's going to be a take. Would it get from 6 or higher if it's not higher than 6 in some spots, it might get there. But 7 is going to be a take, I think, by professionals.
We were telling bettors to jump on because DraftKings was still hanging in Baltimore 7.5 yesterday as the Huntley news was being announced, and it kind of hung out there. So that was a tremendous number because everybody's now Baltimore with Huntley at 6.5. Are you sitting there 6.5 at the South Point?
Yeah, 6.5. I mean, you kind of had to you had to err on the side of caution there, right? Following things, guys. Jackson wasn't practicing this week, right? I mean, he wasn't practicing on Wednesday, which is a pretty good indicator. We knew we already missed the previous game, so it was getting to go into 7.5 was maybe a little aggressive, but again, it's not a play on the Ravens at that point with Huntley. It's a play on the number. You're getting a good solid team at home. So look, it's they're not going to in this case the Falcons that were taking the 7.5, and it was simply a play on the number.
I thought that number, it was a weird number when I saw it, because look, the Ravens, when they played home against Denver, it was 13-3. Now, look, I understand the Falcons' defense is horrible, but the Falcons play close to these games. I mean, they can run the ball. They run the ball on everybody. They reduce the clock. And whether, when you take away your best player, which is Tucker, because it's going to be hard to kick, that damages Baltimore.
Pay attention to teams that play hard. And the Falcons, to your point, Michael, are one of those teams. And Patrick, I know you'll be glad to hear this. Your Lions are another.
I can't take hearing one more freaking time that team plays hard, because they should be better than their record. Anywho, Vinny, listen. Merry Christmas to you and your
Merry
family.
Merry Christmas,
okay?
Vinny. Thank you. Bon Natal.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Feliz Navidad. That's Vinny Meliulo. Next, MVP Market with Lombardi.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Well, we were just discussing how tough it is to bet and beat the bull season. Don't do it until you check out our VSiN Bull Betting Guide. We've got everything. Every day, best bets on the games, written previews of every bull game, betting tips, motivational strategies from Mackinnon, VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Remember, to get the bull betting guide and all of our guides and Lombardi's Look Ahead, you have to become a VSiN pro. It's simple. VSiN.com/subscribe. Finish your thought. I want to get to the MVP market, but just a little fun here during the holidays. Are you interested at all, Michael Lombardi, in going to see Avatar 2?
No, I don't.
Me
think
neither.
So, no.
Thank God. Thank you. I'm not into blue people. The Blue Man Group. I can't. Fantasy. Not my thing.
I don't. It doesn't kind of get me. A whole kind of element. I'm not. Good in that area. So I like to kind of learn something more. I understand that there's novels that you want to learn, but there's some things that are set in real time. I think that would be fun.
Let me know when Gentleman in Moscow is made into a movie, and
that'd
I'll go watch
great.
It. Okay,
I think that should be made into a play first. Actually, I think that
Good
would
one.
Be a great play, because you don't have a lot of scenery to deal with. You're always in the lobby or you're up in his room, and so you're in the kitchen. It's kind of could really work into a 3-part play, and the characters are so interesting that the audience is going to want to see them in Act 3. That's what makes great movies is when the character development in Scene 1 makes you as the viewer want to see what happens to them in Act 3. That's what made The Sopranos so great, is everybody loves the characters and they want to see how, so you stay with them. and their evolution. And then by when they get to the final act, you're with them.
The most important casting for Gentlemen in Moscow for a play would be the Count. That would be the MVP as we transition to the MVP market. Yeah, you see what I did? Mahomes.
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. Okay, so and much has been made that the numbers flipped here as far as favoritism in the MVP market from Hurts, then the injury. Now Mahomes is minus 280 updated. We've got 250 at BetMGM, 280 as a favorite over at DraftKings. My assumption is that's where you're going to go. I'll give you the four that I have in contention. Hurts is plus 450, so 4.5 to 1. Josh Allen is 7.5 to 1, plus 750. And Joe Burrow is 9 to 1 at plus 900. Those are the four, right? You can't add anybody else. And two is not in the mix here.
No. Well, I mean, Femi's been stuffing the ballot boxes, but he's not in the mix. There's no doubt. I mean, I think when you really go back and study the MVP season that Mahomes had in 18, where he throws 50 touchdown passes, you know, and only 12 interceptions, and he averages 9.6 yards per attempt. And that's a remarkable year. You know, he threw for 318 yards a game in that year. This year he's thrown for 321. His QBR rating that year was 80.3. This year it's 79.9, right? Now, he's slightly below the yards per attempt. He's doing it more. His yards in this season with three games to go, he's at 4,496 yards. That year he had 5,000 yards. So he's on track to get there. Now, he's not going to get the 50 touchdowns, and he's going to throw a little bit more interceptions. But everything he's doing is better than he did it that year. That year he had four fourth-quarter comebacks He had two fourth-quarter comebacks and two game-winning drives. This year he's got three each. So what he's done is remarkable. It's really remarkable. And he's playing at this high level without the best player, the best receiver. He still has Kelce. But, you know, when they lost Hill, they were able to overcome it by dispersing the ball to other players. I think if we were to hold a draft, you and I and eight people, and we said, okay, we want to start teams and everybody in the NFL is available. Who's the best player? Who would you take? You're taking Mahomes first.
Oh, and it's almost like it's rote or it's boring at this point. So somebody would take a chance on Herbert or Allen, but Mahomes is the answer. And any way you cut it, without Hill, Kansas City's offense, expected points added, EPA per play, every metric they've gotten better this year. That's without Hill. That's with Juju and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Mecole Hardman. Like that is so such an impressive feat by Tyreek Hill.
Pardon me. He attempted that season, his MVP season. He attempted 580 passes that year. He played all 16 games, right? He started all 16 games. They were 12-4. He attempted 580 passes. This year, when he plays on Saturday afternoon, you know, he will, by the end of that day, he will have passed his 580 attempts. He's already got 552 attempts. So he's throwing it more and having more production. So they're putting the ball in his hand more. And he's creating it. And, you know, he doesn't have the touchdown passes that he had that year. But he's still playing at such an incredibly high level that it's remarkable. And I don't think you can underestimate it. I really can't.
By the way, did you know, just kind of a cool thing to look forward to tomorrow, did you know that Mahomes completed his final 20 passes against the Texans? So he's six behind the record. Four different quarterbacks have completed 25 consecutive passes. Mahomes, if he completes his first six tomorrow, will hold the record there. He's phenomenal. And
five incompletions in the game.
Where's the investigation?
I mean, he was at 87% completions. I mean, you know, this guy doesn't ever throw. I mean, he never throws without in the high 60s. I mean, he has some games where he's at 58% completions, you know, but for the most part, he's throwing and making plays. I mean, unlike Zach Wilson, who can't complete just a standard hitch out in the flat.
Second up would be Hurts and his maturation and his step this year. I mean, he is the third lowest turnover worthy play rate quarterback in the league. Like, he has 35 total touchdowns. It really has been miraculous. And I think you look to Hurts's personality and just his temperament first. And that's what you point to. Like, he's going to get better because he's starting from such a stable place.
Yeah, I mean, and look, he has improved in every area. I think what we don't do a good enough job in terms of his understanding the work habits. So this kid has worked really hard to improve his game. I mean, he really has. And, you know, last year he attempted 432 passes. This year he's already attempted 425. Now, he played in 15 games last year. So they're throwing a little bit more. His percentage of completion is higher, right? His touchdown passes are higher. Right. He's, you know, his yards per attempt is much higher. He's improved in every single area, you know, and the fact is he can run the ball. I mean, he is their running game. I mean, that's what they do with him. He is their offense. He runs the football so effectively that, you know, he's got 156 carries on the year, Patrick. You know, he's got 13 touchdowns rushing. Yeah, that guy averages 4.8 a rush. Now, that's down from last year because he's not making as many long runs. But the reality of it is he's the true ball carrier in their offense. I mean, when you have 156 carries and you're averaging 4.8 a carry, you're a ball carrier. You're not just a scrambler.
Correct. How would you like to be Joe Burrow, who takes a team in his second year after the injury to a Super Bowl? He comes back. He's completing over 68% of his passes. He's thrown for 31 touchdowns and 10 picks, carrying that team. And he's not going to win the MVP. It's just he's been miraculous. Allen's been miraculous. How can you not give an MVP to Justin Herbert, who's carrying Staley through this season? A lot of good quarterback play.
Yeah, a lot of good. And a lot of it is in the AFC. That's the thing. I mean, when I got finished my column this morning and I got done the top five quarterbacks, you know, four of them are from the AFC. Think about that. Right. There's not that, you know, and Goff, who I think Goff was the one NFC quarterback. I think to me, think about that. He was in my top five, right? And you know, they put Kirk Cousins in the Pro Bowl, and you look at the two players, and Goff's had a better year than Cousins. Now, I know Cousins won more games, but Goff's had a better season. So, you know, when you look at what Burrow's been able to do and you know, starting the season out, you know, he was getting sacked quite a bit. You know, he didn't have his best receiver. You know, but I think to me, he's playing as well as he's ever played, playing better. He's doing more this year to help his team win than he did last year, because last year they had a guard against the offensive line. This year, the line's playing better.
You know, here's one thing I will say as an aside about Cousins, where he doesn't get enough credit. You know, in like 9 seasons, he's missed one start. Availability. The reason Eli Manning was so valuable is he started every single game. And so he gave you that consistency. Cousins is consistent. Now, people can't stand him, but he plays every game.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not – to me, I'm not – this isn't personal. Like, I just think, to me, when you break down Goff and him, Goff's had the better year. The more percentage of complete touchdown, throwing the ball down the field, making the plays.
Yes. Okay.
You know, Cousins has led his team to more wins. There's no denying that. They've been fortunate, but they've led his team to more wins.
Hey – going to break here, just a question for you. I told you I wanted to go through that 21 draft. Lawrence still goes number one. The Jets at this point, they took Wilson. They'd have to take Micah Parsons, correct?
You would think so, yeah.
I think that'd have to be the guy.
All the quarterback. I mean, look, there's been a huge regression by Mac Jones. You know, you don't have the what do we have? The five quarter Trey Lance, Justin Fields. I mean, he's a running back. He's great. He's athletic. I mean, he makes some incredible plays. Can he throw the ball?
I think you'd have to go Parsons. You know, maybe Jamar Chase is in the mix. Something like that.
Sewell?
Detroit would still take Sewell at 7.
Of course they would. You have to take Sewell.
But everybody clowned the decision. We come back with our buddy Amal Shaw.
Listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Brian, thank you. Of course, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, they hook you up every single time you make a bet with reward. So you get points, and every time you accrue those points, you can use them for free bets, or if you're traveling to Vegas, airfare, shows, hotel stays. Again, it's the premier loyalty program and all of betting over at BetMGM, BetMGM.com, or download the app. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Happy holidays as we welcome you back. Michael Lombardi in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher, Los Angeles. We head to the South Point. One half of Big Bets is Amal Shaw, and we say happy holidays. Where do you put in your power rankings, sunshine? Where do you put Christmas and Hanukkah, this part of the year, and your holiday power rankings. Let's hear it, Amal.
I don't really have power rankings on that one. I thought you were going to say holidays. I celebrate all paid holidays.
Yes, paid holidays. Next, Jacksonville 2021 still goes Lawrence. What did the Jets do at 2? They took Wilson. He's out of there. And then the 49ers at 3, they took Lance. He's out of there. What do you think happens with the redraft there?
Well, I don't know about the Jets. I don't know who they would have taken. I think Michael would probably have a little bit better perspective on that. But if you're San Francisco, based on the fact that they were built to win then and they're still built to win now, I think you would look back on it and say, why did you take Trey Lance? It reminds me of when the Detroit Pistons drafted Darko Milicic, when you could have taken
Carmelo
Mello or Dwayne Wade,
yes,
especially
yes.
with already having five players in the NBA, they're the five best at their positions. I mean, at least among the top five in the league at the time. And you look back, Larry Brown could have probably had a dynamic run, but unfortunately it wasn't meant to be. And I think San Francisco, you know, the one thing I think, and Michael, I don't know what your perspective on this one, it might be a little bit too early for the jury to come back with a decision on Trey Lance yet. Hasn't played a ton, had the injury this year. So I think it might be too quick to necessarily say he can't play.
Well, I think, you know, to me, it's not too early to say he didn't look good running Kyle's offense.
Sure.
I mean, Purdy's come in as a pure rookie. Mr. Irrelevant and has come in and looked good. Now he could go out there and not play well this week, but I don't think that's the case because all the throws are easy throws. There's rhythm to it. Kyle doesn't have to change what he's doing. I mean, this whole notion was built. This whole narrative was built. Well, people are catching up to Kyle's offense. He's got to change. He needs a six back kind of quarterback to help him so he can run the ball and move around. I didn't see that. I really don't. So, you know, I mean, to me, the play of Purdy is more of an indictment of of Lance than ever.
You know, I agree with you there. And Patrick, to Michael's point, the one thing, and he knows this, Bill Parcells used to say it all the time, don't draft these guys that don't have experience playing in college. Brock Purdy played for a long time at Iowa State. When you look at Trey Lance at North Dakota State, how much did he truly play? And I think you go back to that, you see that with Trubisky, you see that with several other guys along the way. They just haven't had a ton of experience, and it has not translated necessarily. Now, I'm not saying you can make a blanket statement on that, but it seems to be the case in many guys' instances.
He wanted guys that had 32 career starts. He wanted guys who were juniors and seniors. You know, he wanted guys that he could go put on a tape and say, okay, here's – because what he wanted to be able to do is say, if we take this guy, this is what we're going to need to do. This is who he is. This is because he believes all quarterbacks need to be managed. There's very few Patrick Mahomes out there, you know, and so you're going to have to build an offense around the player. And so you need tape to study this. You need to understand what you're getting into, what he's good, what he's not good at. And that's the hard part. That's why Purdy and Desmond Ridder, I mean, he's got 49 career starts. I'm not saying Ridder is going to be a great player, but they're going to have an idea on what Ridder can and can't do because they know what he's done in college.
One thing we do know is it's not sexy, but Michael, as you mentioned, the Lions still take Penei Sewell at 7. 13, Rashawn Slater probably goes higher. And then we know Darrishaw, who I think went 23. Christian Darrishaw, the kid out of Tech, he went 23. He's going to go higher as well. Some of those tackles are going to jump up.
Yeah, I mean, we've had this draft has been, you've got to draft skill players. You have to draft skill. You need skill. You know, it's not, you know. But at the end of the day, when 57 new starting quarterbacks in week 16 are starting in the game and the quarterback are getting killed at a high rate, and yet we're calling penalties on an unnecessary roughness at a high rate, even when they barely get touched to try to prevent injuries, yet they're still getting injured. It goes back to the lack of offensive line development, drafting offensive linemen, protecting the quarterback first and foremost. And that's what's not happening in the league. A lot of young offensive coaches are just, we want to get five out in the route. You know, I mean, Washington has no offensive line, and they're getting five in a route, and meanwhile, the quarterback giving up sacks, touchdowns. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I love your point on the offensive linemen. Where are the Walter Jones, the Orlando Paces of the world, the Jason Peters? These guys don't seem to exist anymore. You know, I was completely wrong on Cincinnati. I thought they should have drafted Penei Sewell when they drafted Ja'Marr Chase. I kept saying, oh, this is a mistake. You got to get an offensive line. But obviously they turned out to be correct in their decision because Ja'Marr Chase has been a difference maker. But for me, when I look at it, Michael, you're absolutely right. Where are these guys that are developing? You don't have the guys out of Bama, out of Ohio State, out of Georgia that you plug in at left tackle and you go, okay, I got 10 years, six Pro Bowls coming out of this guy, maybe two or three All Pros, and then I'll worry about the rest of the line as we go forward.
It's hard to find. I mean, you know, they don't stay in school very long, and then you don't get time to train them. I mean, Evan Neal's an example. I mean, last year we had three offensive linemen get drafted rather early, you know, and all of them are playing, and all of them look like they can are capable of playing well. So, you know, they're out there, but you got to develop them. I mean, Jason Peters is a tight end at Arkansas. You know, he's on Dallas's practice squad. You know, excuse me, he's on Buffalo's practice squad. I tried to steal him to go to the Raiders, and Al called Jerry on the phone because he was an Arkansas kid and said, well, you know, probably not. Okay, we didn't take him. But, you know, there's a left tackle. You got to try to find them and develop them. They're out there, but you need time to work with them. These line coaches need to be able to spend. And the way the collective bargaining agreement has destroyed player development in that area is really, really one of the things that are causing the injuries. See, we have so many people in the league office that don't even understand why the injuries occur. They think that some 300-pound man can contort his body and not land on the quarterback, and that's going to prevent injuries. That's not going to happen. It's hard. What's going to prevent injuries is better offensive line play.
By the way, is every coach in the league now being scouted and recruited if they played at Mount Union or Baldwin Wallace?
Yeah, I mean, look. I said this. I wrote this morning. If Jared Goff was playing this well in Los Angeles for Sean McVay, he would be a Pro Bowler first. It would be not even close. He wouldn't be close. If he was playing this good in Los Angeles for McVay, if he had the McVay, the holy water from McVay, he would be in a Pro Bowl. Meanwhile, we put Kirk Cousins in the Pro Bowl. I mean, that holy water from McVay goes a long way. I mean, LaFleur, McDaniel, it goes everywhere.
the holy water. Hey,
go ahead, Patrick.
It is the Christmas season, Patrick.
I love the way you did that. Go ahead, Amal.
Now, I don't really have much to add. I was just going to say, generally speaking, the effort you've seen out of the Rams, you don't see that kind of theft unless somebody's committing embezzlement.
Well, hey, listen,
McVay's up in the booth for four years that they were on borrowed time, that what they were doing wasn't sustainable. And everybody said, you're wrong, they're going to do it. Now Stafford says he's coming back. Well, of course, do you think he's going to say he's not coming back and he's going to give back all the money that he got last year? I mean, we fall for it every time. It's like, I mean, okay, Robert Salai came out and said, we're not giving up on Zach Wilson yet. How do you think that went over in the locker room today? You mean they're not giving up on him? I mean, you think there's any chance he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Jets in Seattle? Of course not. The team won't go. And then everybody gets mad at Deion when Deion says, hey, fellas, you know, I need better players than you. I want the truth. Like, Salai should have come out and said, look, he's going to have to earn some credibility back here. This was hard.
I just don't think it's in his DNA to say that. I get from a head coaching standpoint where he's coming from. You don't want to absolutely crush the guy, but at the same time, let's be real here. I don't think this team's going to be engaged. At least in this game, he made a quarterback change. Should have done it in New England. They'd be in a better spot in that game that they lost on the punt return touchdown. But, I want to go back to the Rams for a second. Michael had made a point a couple of years ago, and I thought this was probably the best point I've heard on VEASAN in all the years. You talked about Gurley, the running back out of Georgia, the knee injury. When you were with the Patriots, they evaluated him, said this guy's not going to get to a second contract. The Rams made an egregious mistake by signing him long-term. And unfortunately for Todd Gurley, he was gone out of the league very quickly. Sometimes people would sit there and hear Michael saying certain things about the front offices. No, some of these guys in the front offices are really this dumb.
The Rams lead the league. The Rams lead the league in giving out bad contracts. I mean, Brandon Cooks, sign him and trade him. You know, Gurley, sign him and trade. Go through them all. Goff, sign him and trade him. I mean, fortunately, they had a new stadium and their owner's willing to go and pay, or else they would be in trouble. I mean, you know, they're sitting around there with the T-shirts saying we don't need the draft picks. Hey, maybe you need draft picks. Maybe you should. Maybe they draft that little receiver from Louisville in 21. They got a B for the draft. Like, does he tilt the field for you? I mean, seriously, they got a solid B for that draft.
I would agree with you. I'm going to go to Les Snead and say, listen, tell them you found a kicker on the shores of Mumbai. You're bringing him in. He's over 40, but he's the best kicker you've ever seen. Give me $3 million. I'll split $1.5 million with you, Les.
Les Snead, you should go to Len Mead and ask for a raise. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Amal.
They got to pay you guys. They're going to give me 2 cents on the dollar.
Michael, tomorrow morning, Christmas Eve, I'll see you then. Amal Shaw.
Thank you, Patrick. Happy holidays.
Thank you.